Always a privilege to feed God's people from God's Word. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we ask for your glory, the glory of your Son, the glory of your Spirit in this message, in our receiving of the Lord's Supper, but even more as we leave this place tonight by our act of trust in you, our service to others, and encouraging each other, even in the difficult conversations. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. When Mike asked me to preach this morning, he let me know who had gone before and the messages that they had brought, and said this one is going to be encourage one another. And as you probably know, most of the one another statements are from the New Testament. About 59, depending on how you count them. You may also know that the first six and the last six are love one another. What you may not know is when Jesus said what the second greatest commandment was, to love your neighbor, he's quoting the passage we're going to look at tonight. This is the only place in the Old Testament where we are explicitly told to love our neighbor. In all of Leviticus 19, there's a different number of ways that are articulated there about what that love looks like. But as we get down to the very end, he says that loving each other is also encouraging each other to have the hard conversations. And that's not always intuitive to us. In fact, I think it can be counterintuitive for a number of different reasons. In the U.S. for the last several years, if you want to have a hard conversation with somebody and you initiate that, they would say that you're hateful. If you're not able to respond to that or don't want to respond to that, you could be labeled a coward. We live here in the Bible Belt, where when I ask you how you're doing, you're supposed to say you're doing great, and I say I'm doing great, and we smile, and we go about our day, right? In the CSRA, there's a lot of vocations here that can tempt us to keep everything inside and not say that things are going as well. If you're a doctor or work in the medical field or in cybersecurity or information technology, or you are the face of a business, you're supposed to put on a smile and not say that you're struggling with something. That can feel risky for you. If you're in a church that's 200 years old, it can be difficult to have hard conversations. Yet this is the immediate context that the Lord quotes when he says, love your neighbor. So we're going to look at just these two verses in Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. And we'll go through it relatively quickly because I know we have the Lord's Supper. And this is steak. We need to chew on this a little slowly, savor the flavor. It's only two verses, but there's a lot here. Listen with me. Read with me. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your brother, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So how do we do that? How do we have hard conversations with each other? Because clearly, it's right here in God's Word. And if it's important enough for Jesus to quote this passage, and again, all of Leviticus 19 lists many things, but the immediate context here is the hard conversations. Well, there's at least four reasons or ways to do this. And the first is to revere Yahweh. And there's a reason I say Yahweh. Sometimes we can use the term Lord and we think of a concept of God, but in your translation of the Bible, I can almost guarantee you that word Lord is in all caps. That is our attempt in the English to indicate this is the covenantal name of God, the personal name of God, the God who redeems undeserving people, the God who forgives us because of his promise in their time, a promise to come in our time that we look back on in the Lord Jesus. The God who changes us by the work of his Spirit so that we not only can have hard conversations, we even want to, in order to grow in our relationship and please him and be a supernatural light that we're not otherwise. Several times in Exodus, the Lord makes a statement to his people, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. 16 different times he does that. In Leviticus, he does that 49 times, 15 times in this chapter alone, because names have meaning. And he also says that he doesn't want us to incur sin because sin separates us from God. Now, we know that in Christ, nothing can separate us. But on our end, our experiential end, we can feel separated from God. And certainly if there is sin between us as brothers and sisters, it can separate. And names are important. There aren't many patriarchs in my family. Most of them have passed on. I'm not telling my age. I'm just saying most of them have passed on. But we have a lot of matriarchs, and they all have different names. There's grandma. This is grandma here. There's a nanny, there's a grammy, there's a mama, there's a great-grandma, there's lots and lots of matriarchal names. And if our kids or our grandkids hear that so-and-so wants to talk to you, they immediately associate that name with something about that person. You know what I'm talking about. They care about you, but they care about you in specific ways that they want to bless you, and that could be a number of different ways. But when Yahweh tells us something, he wants to bless us in every way. Not just the easy ways, but every way. And so the second reason or way to move into those hard conversations is to remember that we're God's family. We are not just members of this church. We are not just neighbors in the CSRA. Earlier in Exodus, he refers to Israel as his firstborn son. And he talks about our brother here, or sister, obviously. But notice that he says our brother, if there's an issue of sin or perceived sin, many times as a counselor I'm dealing with issues of sin, but many times issues of perceived sin, he doesn't address our brother there, even though it might be our brother that has neglected one of these other ways to love earlier in Leviticus 19, or abused one of these ways. He addresses our heart toward our brother. The heart is the only place that change can come from. It's the only place that love can come from, or sin. But because of our God, because of Yahweh, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, real love can come from the heart by his supernatural work. As a young father, relatively young father, when we got married, I was 32, I thought love could come other ways with my kids. Maybe that I could lecture them long enough. Maybe I could have them hug each other and look each other in the eye, and I even did this a time or two, and said, you tell your brother you're sorry and you love him, say it until you mean it. How do you imagine that went? You may be thinking about a particular person right now. Maybe they're in this room. Maybe they're not here. But if they're a brother or sister in Christ and there is even perceived sin between you, you must talk about it. You must. He doesn't give us the option not to. But he does tell us not to blow up and not to shut down. We see in the passage that we are not to take vengeance. That's the blowing up. And we're not to shut down. That's the bearing a grudge. I used to be pretty good at one, bearing the grudge. In about 2008, Lauren and I went to counseling ourselves, one of the reasons that I have such a passion for counseling. We went to counseling weekly for 8 months. Now, by God's grace, I think I've got some training where I can be more effective with that. A lot of my clients tell me they're doing well, and they're not nearly into 8 months yet. But we went because I was very good at holding a grudge. Now, Lauren and I have never fought, never. But we do sometimes have intense fellowship. And that intense fellowship, on my end, would look like becoming red-faced and tight-lipped and you could see the pulse right there beating, and I just sucked it up until it burned, and I incurred sin toward her because of my own unwillingness to talk through difficult issues. We have to talk through difficult issues. One of the things I recommend to my counselor, to my clients, is to take a good look at Psalm 39. Don't do it now because you'll miss what I'm about to tell you next. But in Psalm 39, David starts off saying, I'm going to paraphrase, he said, I was tight-lipped. I decided I would not speak so that I would not sin. And you read later in the context, he's worried about other people's sin around him, and he's so angry that he thought if he spoke up, he might sin. But he said, then his heart began to burn within him, and the first person he spoke to was God himself. And when you know your own sin, because you're standing or sitting or kneeling in the presence of God the Father and his Son, who is pictured here in the table, and his Holy Spirit that we sang about in songs, we'll have a hard time pointing our fingers at somebody else. And David begins to confess his own sin, even though his anger was about sins of others. We need to not blow up and not shut down. If you are more inclined to hold a grudge, it's probably your inclination also to retreat physically from a hard conversation. That was me. So you probably need to initiate. And it will feel like you're starting a fight. You're not. You're just saying there's something between us because of what I believe. And I encourage my clients to make I statements. I think, I believe, I want, I don't understand, because you're taking personal responsibility. And then they have an opportunity to clarify, because it may just be an issue of perceived sin. But if you hold a grudge, you probably need to initiate that conversation and then follow up or follow through on that conversation and not just a drive-by. If you're more inclined to blow up or seek vengeance, you probably tend to vent on other people that you believe have wronged you. So you probably need to ask more questions. Well, what do you mean by that? Would you tell me more? And wait and listen for their explanation. So they're having a hard time getting it out there, and you're having a hard time waiting to receive it. But that's why we're told in Matthew 18 to establish the truth of the matter between you. Sometimes that's why we need a counselor, to find out, is this perception or is this reality? But then we see our last point here, and I know we're going through this relatively quickly, but this is so important, because in the Lord's Supper, we get to taste and remind ourselves of how it is that we are able to have these hard conversations. Lastly, we need to see his generational blessing. Now, what do I mean by that? There's some unusual phrases in here. He talks about, why do you do this to the sons of your own people? He wants them to think generationally. Many times in the heat of the moment, we're only thinking about right now. I'm upset with you, you're upset with me, and I don't know what to do with that. But if you will see, visualize what you want that relationship to look like in an hour, and if your kids were listening, what would you want them to hear from that to pass on to your grandkids? In fact, early on, Lauren and I agreed that we would always have our intense fellowship in front of the kids. Now, you might say, whoa. But we did that for a couple of good reasons. One, it kept us from getting it out of hand. We didn't call names. We didn't point fingers. It also, more importantly, showed them that we're committed to work through it. And it showed them how to resolve conflict even when there's tears running down your face and your pulse is just pounding because you're hurting. Because underneath that anger is fear or hurt. And you need to see the generational blessing. Now, the blessing part is in when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And just like in Greek, there's different words for love. In Hebrew, there are two. And this particular word is an affectionate love. Want something good for the other person. And that something specifically is that they would see more of who the Lord is because of the way you talk to them. That they would hear that holiness is not a concept that we talk about in Sunday morning communities. That they would experience that love has the difficult conversations. Because isn't that what Jesus did for us? To have the hard conversations? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit still does? To prompt us that we're not completely in line with what God says is good and true? Not because he wants to rub salt in the wound, but because he wants to draw us close to himself and close to each other. It can be difficult to have the hard conversations. I know it can. Jesus here, or God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit here, are encouraging us to encourage one another to have those hard conversations as part of love. Now, you might be asking the question, what about justice? If you're one of the ones who is more inclined to vengeance and blowing up, you're probably very concerned about justice. This is where justice was satisfied, on the cross. There's nothing you can add to what somebody else has done to you. There's nothing you can add to what Jesus took on the cross for what they may or may not have done to you. You may be wondering, well, how do I get that change, that transformation where I'm able to do that? That's the Holy Spirit. You remember that at the beginning of this service, one of the questions we looked at in the confession to start our worship is what the Sabbath is. And the Sabbath is about resting in what God has provided. And we remember that the Sabbath has changed because they looked forward to the time when justice would be satisfied. They looked forward to find out how God would provide supernatural change in us so we actually want to and are more able to do what he calls us to do. Now we look back on how justice is satisfied, because the first day of the week is when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. He cares about us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to be not only close to him, but close to each other. And there's a lot of different ways that we do that. I often wash dishes that are in the sink because it's not man's work, it's just work that needs to be done. There are ways that we care for each other in the Helping Hands ministry to help our elderly or disabled into the building. But one of the ways that you can help each other is to encourage each other. Even as you're in that hard conversation, there's real hope, because God wants to deal with the issue of sin or perceived sin so that you're not just closer to him, but you're closer to each other through that conversation. I'd like to pray for you now as you decide whether you should take this supper or not. If you're bearing a grudge or in consistent vengeance towards somebody else, because it's not just the outward sins that everybody sees. It's the sins that we won't let go of. This is an opportunity to remind ourselves that those things are satisfied on the cross, and there's real change by his work in the Holy Spirit. I invite you to pray with me. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we praise you for the love that we see in your word. Lord Jesus, the people said you had done everything good, including hard conversations. Holy Spirit, you are still doing those types of work in your people. So we will not be seen by others in the CSRA simply as socially nice or professionally accomplished, but supernaturally changed. I thank you for this table that pictures how justice is satisfied, how change comes by you living in us so that living waters flow out of us, even sometimes as tears. in those difficult conversations of love. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.